It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
All right, time to feed you more football on this Featured Artist Friday at Chicago, by the way. Pick a song, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. We'll play it for you. Send your request, pause for text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Vinny's off today, week three. NFL started last night as New York wins handily, the Jets, that is, over New England. Here to talk about that, look ahead to the rest of the schedule from NFL.com. Let's welcome back to the show our friend Eric Edholm. Eric, how are you? What's happening on this Friday?
I'm doing all right, man. Yeah, you're playing Chicago. That's great. That's where I'm at right now. So
we're about to get into the Karate Kid era, but it is okay. What it is. Everyone's got their keyboard phase, and we'll just have to deal with it the way that it goes. But last night's performance, Aaron Rodgers, and was it vintage Aaron Rodgers? Vintage, you know, the guy's got multiple MVPs and a Super Bowl championship. But how sharp was he last night against a decent New England defense, I guess?
Yeah, I'd say on the Rodgers scale, that, you know, on the, you know, including the best of the best and the worst of the worst, that was about an 8. I mean, it was a good performance. It started right away. The first drive was surgical until they had a couple of, you know, a penalty and a sack, and then from there they pretty much just rolled them. I know the score doesn't look all that impressive, but, you know, they were just pinching away at them and really, you know, doing a good job. I think the, you know, the passing game is starting to roll a little bit. They have two running backs now, with the rookie Braylon Hall kind of carving out his own role. And so it's easy to see the steps from week one to week two to here, how this offense is going to improve. And it was the best game defensively for them too. So, you know, even against a Patriots team that has very few answers right now. So, you know, the Jets are heading the right direction. Week one was a little problematic, but, you know, Rodgers looked as good, especially as spry as he looked. That was what really impressed me. He really was moving around pretty well last night.
Not for New England, Eric. They win the stunner against Cincinnati week one, losing over. I mean, we know what happened to them the last two games, but they're going to stick with Jacoby Brissett. It looks like, when does the Drake May era, however, start for them?
Well, when they can find an offensive line that blocks, I suspect that's going to be. I don't know if that happens this year, right? I mean, that's the problem. Obviously, in a three score game, you can bring your rookie in to get a little taste of NFL life, and you know, he looked a little skittish the first few plays, and looked, you know, grew more comfortable there at the end. But I think it was pretty obvious. It was more about, you know, even last night, protecting Jacoby. He was getting mauled out there. They had Caden Wallace. It was a college right tackle, had played a sixth offensive lineman role the first 2 weeks. They had him at left tackle, and he had his hands full. And it's not just him, too. I mean, even the stalwarts like Onwenu and Andrews struggled last night. They're hurt. They're playing hurt. They just don't have many options. I don't know if you want to get the kid killed and then 3 weeks later regret the move. So they got to be real smart about this, and I think – feel a little more comfortable with their pass pro before they feel like they can turn it over to May and let him see what he can do.
Now, the Ravens are at Dallas Sunday at 4:25. Both teams coming off home losses. Which loss to you, Eric, was the most surprising? Baltimore-Vegas blowing 2 10-point leads, and then Dallas just getting thumped by New Orleans.
Got to be the Ravens, doesn't it? I mean, yeah. Look, I think the way that game went down in Dallas was very reminiscent of the playoff game, where they just kind of got shocked early and there was no way to really play catch up at that point. Saints just looked like a surgical offense, but the Ravens looked like the better team for most of that game. And, you know, their secondary gives up some plays. They don't finish off drives. You know, it was, you know, you look at how week one unfolded and how this game unfolded, and just haven't been able to finish. And, you know, obviously the desperation level now, you feel like at 0-2, we know the stats, about an 11-12% chance to make the playoffs. You start 0-2. This year you got two teams in a division in that spot, two teams that I think most people felt like were going to be in contention in some way in the Bengals and Ravens. And so, yeah, I mean, I think not only was the loss worse for the Ravens last week, but also going into this game, I would say like the level of pressure feels just even a little bit higher than Dallas, who was able to win week one.
Eric Edholm, NFL.com, NFL Network, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, featured artist Friday. You have Jacksonville at Buffalo coming up Monday night, one of the two Monday night games. What's more surprising for you, Jacksonville's 0-2 or Buffalo's 2-0?
I would say Jacksonville 0-2. I mean, I felt like people were burying the Bills this offseason a little unnecessarily, or it felt like overkill. Like, well, we know their window's closed. So do we? I mean, again, I understand how their offseason went. Day one was a bloodletting. You know, they didn't make a lot of signings. They had to be very prudent. The draft felt disappointing when they had to trade with Kansas City and not get Xavier Worthy. So I understand how the vibes were going this offseason, but they still have Josh Allen. And still some pieces there that I think are pretty redeemable. So the 2-0 start for them didn't shock me. What did stun me was Jacksonville playing really well in the first half against Miami week one and then doing nothing after halftime. And then last week, just a really sluggish performance against the Browns team that I thought looked pretty terrible week one against Dallas, but somehow find a way to win a game in Jacksonville playing at about a C-plus level, you know? And so,
right.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence, Doug Peterson have to feel like, man, you know, they've been such a swing team, right? They went from really bad early on and then all of a sudden got hot kind of over a two-season period there for parts of it. And then really since the 8-3 record last year, they've been bad. And it's just they haven't rediscovered their mojo.
Now, Eric, you mentioned the Saints as they blow out the Cowboys. You got Atlanta gets the win at Philly. Tampa's 2-0. All right, the Panthers are the Panthers. But we thought the NFC South, I guess, was going to be maybe the worst division in football. Why are they surprising at least three of those teams right now?
Yeah, and I mean, and Andy Dalton makes the Panthers better, I think, right now. So, I mean, like, you know, you at least look and they might be, you know, somewhat competitive now compared to what they were doing with Bryce. So, yeah, it's been impressive. I mean, in week one, obviously the Falcons lose a tough one and then, you know, find a way to win at Philly. I'm still kind of making my mind up about them. You know, I think there's still some things that need to be sorted out. But Tampa had a really nice offseason bringing Baker back. And, you know, it's hard to think. I mean, like, he was overlooked in the free agent market. I mean, it took a while for them to kind of settle on him and then also make the decision to bring him back. And, you know, a lot of pieces back on offense. They found a way to kind of keep this defense glued together, even with some injuries. And Todd Bowles just has gotten a better feel for coaching games and kind of knowing when to pull the right strings and stuff. So impressive on their, you know, behalf and everything. But, yeah, it's a division that's sort of been a little bit of a joke lately in the sense that they win – you know, division winner earns a home game with 8 wins, 9, something like that. And, you know, the Tom Brady era ended and everybody assumed it was going to keep going down. But, you know, we've obviously seen a better version of that division so far this year.
Eric Edholm, NFL.com. All right, Eric, last thing for you. You got the Houston Texans at Minnesota. Now one of the more intriguing games of week three. By the way, Houston, the only team in the AFC South with a win heading into the third week. But why is Sam Darnold playing like the 2016 version of Sam Darnold when he was a redshirt, whatever it was, at USC They're undefeated at home? They're getting points, but, you know, the Vikings, not a lot of people saw this, I guess.
Interesting team, right? I mean, they're when J.J. McCarthy got hurt in the preseason, everybody thought, oh, no, 17 games of Sam Darnold, what's going to happen, right? And I had that fear, too, because we've seen Darnold play well before. I don't care, you know, if people have forgotten or whatever, but it's not like he doesn't have talent. I think you'd put him somewhere in the top 20 of quarterbacks as far as just raw talent. I felt that way coming out. I certainly felt like he was going to be very good coming out. I've been wrong to this point, but you know, the start of the season, he's looked composed. I think Kevin O'Connell's an outstanding play caller, always catering the offense to his, you know, his quarterback strengths, his team strength. You know, they ended that last game with Jefferson on the sideline, Addison was out, Hawkinson's not back yet, and they still found a way to finish off San Fran. So how do they handle, you know, C.J. Stroud, an explosive Texans offense? Brian Flores has been great defensively. And then are there enough weapons to sting what appears to be the weakness of this team, which is the Houston team, which is the defense? But even saying that, you know, they made life hell for Caleb Williams last week and have clearly improved since last year. So, you know, that's why they've earned so much respect early in the season.
Eric Edholm, NFL.com. Eric, always great to talk to you. Enjoy week 3 of the NFL season. We'll talk to you down the road here.
All right, you too. Thank you, man.
You got it. Eric Edholm, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. The Ravens have extended Justice Hill. We'll talk about that later on in the hour. But when we come back, picks time, booze on the line. That's always very important around this program, that's for sure. Come back with college games, 5 of those, and the week 3 slate of the NFL, not counting the Monday night action. Then Jacob Calvin Meyer, preview Orioles Tigers bottom.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of the hour.
You can pick your friends.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
Oh, boy. Already 3 weeks into the NFL season. Week 4 college football. Time she is a flying. But we want to make these picks. We want to win some booze. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's off today, but I have his picks. We're going to get to them in a second. If you're new to the show, beer for me and Nolan, McUltra for me. Nolan's got the old Yinglings rolling. Unless you change your flavor. Did you change your flavor?
No, we'll stick with it.
So you did or you didn't?
No, we're sticking with the Yingling. Okay. Sticking with it.
McUltra, which I drink out of a glass when I'm at home. Makes me feel fancy. I'll be sucking them out of that can tonight at Pickles Pub, though. If you're coming down, don't come empty-handed. And Vinny likes wine. So we got to get him the vino, and we've been paying for his booze the last 2 years, trying to change things here, 2024. So, Nolan, last night there was a game. It was the Jets handily over New England. What were our picks, and how does that change the results heading into today's excitement?
Well, everyone was on the Jets. No surprises there. Home team on the short week. Better team, if we're being honest. So everyone gets a win to pad the stats. Standings heading into week 3 of the NFL. Bob is leading 31-15. Vinny right behind at 30-16. And I'm a few games back, 28-18.
All right, well, still a very, very early in the process. Let's start with college football. There's a game tonight. Big Ten game at that. Ranked teams, number 24, Illinois, at number 22, Nebraska. The Huskers dropping 7.5. Nolan McGraw, where are you going with this one?
I'll go with Nebraska at home here. They say this Dylan Raiola kid, that he's copying Pat Mahomes' mannerisms down to a T. Well, he's playing like Pat Mahomes so far. He's playing good. I think they get another win tonight.
Yeah, I'm going Nebraska. Same with Vinny Serrato. Tennessee is at Oklahoma, 6th-ranked Vols. Remember Josh Heupel, coach of the Tennessee Ball Club. He was a star quarterback for the Sooners. Tennessee lands 6.5. What do you got there, Nolan?
I'm actually going to go with an upset here. Give me Oklahoma at home.
You know what? I'm leaning in that direction, too. Boomer Sooner. Vinny is going with the Tennessee Volunteers. Utah, the Utes. What's a Ute? Well, whatever it is, it's at Oklahoma State taking on the Cowboys. 12th-ranked Utah Cowboys coming in at number 14. They are 2.5-point favorites. What you got there, Nolan?
Yeah, kind of a toss-up pick here. So when in doubt, go with that home field advantage, Oklahoma State.
I'm going to take Cam Rising and the Utes. Cam Rising came out of the same high school class as Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. But he's had so many injuries. He's like 47 years old now, so I will take him. You know, Gundy always tends to gack away when they're supposed to win. So I'm going to take their gackage in this one. USC, number 11, might be a little overrated. At overrated, number 18, Michigan. Orgy's the quarterback's name, right? Orgy?
That's how it's spelled.
O-R-J-I, Orgy.
That's the password.
You ever watch Always Sunny.
What's the password?
What's the password? Orgy. So Orgy is the quarterback. USC lay in. That looks like a fiver, according to my own handwriting there. Trojans will be at Maryland in a couple weeks. Wolverines, what do you think?
Well, I'll go with USC, because when you're encountering an orgy, it's always good to bring a Trojan.
And a mask.
Yes.
Perhaps. Yeah, I'll go with the Trojans in that one. And then the Turtles. Hosting Villanova, Maryland laying 17.5 against the undefeated Wildcats, but they're down a level with all due respect. As Keith Kavanaugh said, Towson missed a couple field goals. Should have beat them. What do you think? Are Maryland looking to get to 3-1 before it gets real in Bloomington next week?
Yeah, got to go with the Terps here. I mean, we know what the schedule is going to look like in the back half, but win the games you're supposed to. They'll get the job done.
Maryland gets that 3-1. If not, no excuses, Alice in Chains song. Great one at that. All right, let's get to the NFL. Giants at the Cleveland Browns. Giants are 0-2. Cleveland's 1-1, but not overly impressive in accumulating that 500 record. 6.5 home team. What do you got?
Yeah, I said the other day this would be a flat-out embarrassing loss. Full-on panic in Cleveland if they lose. I don't care how sloppy they look at times, they'll beat the Giants.
Yeah, I don't want to get dopey. I mean, did Giants get a kicker yet? I'll go with Cleveland, same with Vinny. Chicago at the Colts, Caleb Williams, welcome to the NFL. Not like Anthony Richardson's playing all that great either. Indy 0-2, laying 1.5 at home. However, what do you got?
I'm going to go with the Colts here. I'm not sold on Caleb Williams yet. I'm not a hater. I think he can be good. He has all the pieces to be good, but the O-line's kind of letting him down. I'll go with the Colts.
Yeah. I'll go with Indianapolis as well. I think Jonathan Taylor is going to have a strong game there. I mean, the Bears' defense isn't that bad, but it is what it is. Houston -2 at Minnesota, one of the games of the day.
I'm going to go with Houston here on the road. Vikings, maybe they are for real, but could be a spot for them to come back down to earth.
I'm going to take the old Minnesota Vikings here. I think Darnold's playing with some confidence. I know Jefferson was a little tweaked at the end of last game. Aaron Jones has brought some burst to that running game. I think Minnesota defends their home turf. Vinny's going with Houston, by the way. Philly's at New Orleans. How about the Saints laying 2.5?
Yeah, I'll take the Eagles in a bounce-back spot here. New Orleans, I don't know. I mean, can they put up 40 points a week? At some point, it's going to have to come crashing back down. Give me Philly here.
I'm going to take the Saints to defend that Superdome turf. Chargers at the Steelers. Pittsburgh undefeated, first place in the North, 1.5-point favorites.
Give me the Chargers here, and give me J.K. Dobbins. You might not be buying it, Bob, but he will rush for 100 yards with a touchdown.
You think so? I'm taking the Chargers to win. I don't think he'll achieve that. I think Herbert's going to be the key to victory here. Now, Watt and the pass rush gets to him. That'll change things. I just don't see the Steelers generating enough offense to win this one. So I will go with L.A. Vinny has taken Pittsburgh. By the way, he took the Saints as well. Tampa laying 6.5 against the Broncos.
Yeah, got to go with the Bucs here. I mean, I got kind of dopey picking the Broncos last week against Pittsburgh. Learned my lesson here. Tampa Bay, even if they're not playing their A game, they should win here.
Yeah, let's not get carried away. Me and Vinny both going with the Buccaneers. Tennessee laying 3 against the Pack, but Jordan Love could play.
Even if he doesn't play, I think they cracked the code last week. They know what it takes to win. Hand the ball off to your running back, right? You brought him in for a reason. And Tennessee, Will Levis, I mean, let's be honest, he's finding ways to lose games at this point. He's not even a game manager, so I'll go Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm going with the Green Bay Packers. Vinny's taking Tennessee in this game. Carolina's at the Raiders. Vegas laying 5.
Yeah, good spot for Vegas here. We'll get their run game going a little bit. I might pick against Carolina every week this year.
Think Zamir White finally gets on track for you over there?
Well, I'm not even going to start him. I'm not going to take the risk. So, yeah.
Me and Vinny are also taking the Raiders. Seattle laying 4.5 against the Dolphins with Skylar Thompson as the QB there.
Yeah, how about a 3-0 start here for Mike McDonald? Had Tua been playing, maybe a little bit of a different story, but I'll trust the Seahawks here.
I'm going to pull the Dolphins in the upset. How about that? I think Skylar Thompson throws it up to up for grabs, and Waddle or Hill, maybe both, will make plays. Achan's having a nice little start to the season. I'm taking the Dolphins to pull the upset there. Seattle is who Vinny has taken. Detroit at Arizona. What do you got here?
This is the game. This is the one we've been talking about all week. Tough to pick. I'm going to go with the Lions, though, on the road. They're the more polished team, the more well-rounded team right now.
Yeah, I'm going with Arizona. I've been saying it all week. Can't back down now. Vinny is taking Detroit. Atlanta, Sunday night, taking on the Chiefs. Kansas City minus -3.
Upset here for me. I'll take the Falcons at home. I mean, Kansas City, they're not going to go 17-0. Tough spot on the road, prime time. Although the fans usually don't come out in Atlanta. Can you come out for Sunday Night Football? Hopefully. Give me the Falcons.
I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs. So is Vinny's actually taking Atlanta as well. Oh, we got San Francisco and the Rams. My bad. San Francisco minus -6.5 against the injury-decimated LA ball club.
Yeah, not a tough one here. 49ers.
49ers across the board. And then the Ravens, Dallas Cowboys. Vinny's on record as saying Baltimore 27-17. What do you think? Nolan McGraw.
I have the Ravens winning this one 24-20, so a little bit closer. But give me a huge fourth quarter from Derrick Henry to put this game on ice. I want a 2008 Ravens closing out Texas Stadium like running game on Sunday. I want guys running up and down the field, 80-yard touchdowns. Give me the Ravens, 24-20.
24-14 is what I'm going with here. Ravens are going to win this game. They're going to get out to the lead. Then they're going to give a dose of Henry. And then Dallas is going to drop to 1-2. And then Mike McCarthy will be the big talking point next week in Big D. When we come back, talk some Oriole baseball. Tigers in town. They're red hot. Tied for that last wild card. Orioles get a much-needed win. Walking off the San Francisco Giants. Jacob Calvin-Meyer. Talk about the Orioles this final stretch of games. 24.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
Dean Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Featured artist Friday, Chicago. Only one more segment to go. Pick a good one. School song. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's off today. Saturday in the park. You'd think it was the 4th of July. Tomorrow might be the Orioles' last Saturday at the park, depending on how the postseason rolls. But they got a win yesterday. That's all that matters. Three games up on the Royals' last wild card. Four back of the Yanks in the division. Detroit's in town. They're three. Well, they're actually the third wild card tie with Minnesota. Here to talk about that and more from the Baltimore Sun. So welcome back to the show, Jacob Calvin-Meyer. Jacob, thanks for joining us as always. How's your Friday going?
It's great. How are you guys?
Hanging in there, man. And from a weight off the shoulders perspective, as we try to get into analogies and all that good stuff, that win meant what yesterday to the Orioles, especially after blowing the save in the ninth inning?
It could mean everything. I mean, I think that in a week, 2 weeks, if the Orioles are back on track, if they play well over the next final nine games of the regular season, if they end up winning a playoff series, I think you might look back to yesterday and say that might be the moment that it turned around. I think almost everything that happened yesterday was encouraging, right? They played well almost across the board for the first time since earlier this month, which was against the White Sox, so that doesn't count. And before that, it was against the Rockies, so maybe that doesn't count either. And so, they got a good start from their starting pitcher. The defense played well. The only negative thing was Sir Anthony Dominguez blew a save, and as we know, that's going to happen, especially when you're on your third closer after Felix, who's out all year, and then Kimbrel, who got DFA'd earlier this week. But the fact is that they got kind of punched in that ninth inning, and it looked like he was like, oh, here we go again, you know, and that they were going to blow it. And then they get lucky with the popped-up bunt. Hyde makes a great decision, which of course he makes a good decision, so nobody credits him for it. They only get on him when he makes bad ones, but you know, they ignore the fact that he brings in a left-handed reliever in that situation to face two lefties, yes, but they popped a right-handed hitter off the bench who grounded into a double play on the second pitch there. So great job by Gregory Soto, and then Santander coming through in the ninth. And then the most important thing that happened yesterday isn't actually probably the walk-off from Santander. It's the fact that Jordan Westberg played a full game yesterday in the minor leagues, hit a ball over 100 miles per hour, got a hit, and so did Ramon Arias. And so those guys could be back sooner than maybe even I expected a couple of days ago. So a lot of positive news yesterday.
How about Jackson Holliday, too? Got the hit in the fourth inning that drove in two runs after, you know, a couple of a tap out and a strikeout, and then the leaping catch on Yastrzemski there. Jackson Holliday, we know the expectations, and, you know, he got sent back, then had that brief spell where he was really, really hot. But what about this kid, his mindset right now, Jacob, heading into the final couple, well, the final nine games of the regular season, and then going into October, maybe the cream rises to the top mentality, perhaps?
Listen, his upside is still there. We saw it in August when he hit like five home runs in the span of, you know, eight, nine games or whatever. And he can absolutely do that again. Or he could just level out here. I think the hope here for him, for the team, is that, okay, we've seen highs and we've seen some really low lows. If he can level out, be a league average hitter, maybe a little bit above league average as a hitter, take pitches, maybe start walking some more, which is something that he really hasn't done at this level. Shorten his swing a little bit, get some singles, and play good defense at second base, which he largely has. And I feel like he's getting better and better there every day. If he can level out, I think that would be great. But again, this kid's so talented, and I feel like he does have a good mindset. And the fact that they gave him a couple of days last weekend to take a breather, and they started Levon Soto in three straight games, they didn't have Jackson Holliday go 0-for-4 with 3 Ks against Blake Snell on Tuesday, right? Which would have happened if he had started that game because it was Blake Snell. The fact that they avoided that was smart. But there's within his range of outcomes, because of how talented he is that he gets hot and he starts to really play the way that maybe he will, you know, moving forward in his career. And that would be a big boost to this team. And then you have to figure out what the playing time looks like for Westberg and Arias and all the other guys who are coming back. But it could be a big boost to this team if he starts to figure it out here.
Jacob Calvin-Meyer covers the Orioles in Major League Baseball for the Baltimore Sun. And staying with the lineup, final nine games, and we know that Brandon Hyde and the Orioles like these matchups and go with them best they can. But, you know, how much more tweakage of said lineup should we expect to see from Brandon Hyde? And, you know, the lefties, I'm trying to look to see how many lefties are coming up. Well, Cortez, I see him in the horizon in New York. I mean, is it going to be more of a matchup-based thing or just a feel thing, trying to get some consistent run production?
Well, Hyde's always going to, of course, do the matchup thing. It's been, you know, almost 6 years now. That's just the way it's going to go. But at the same time, the Tigers have a weird rotation right now. They're using a bunch of openers. The Orioles do mercifully avoid school ball this weekend as they did last weekend. And so I don't even know what the Tigers rotation looks like or if they've even announced it. But you mentioned Cortez. If the Orioles can get back Westberg, Urias, and Mountcastle, or at least two of those guys, you know, you would expect them in the lineup against the lefty in New York. And I think that there's a chance that, especially with Westberg, that he gives this lineup something that they've been desperately missing, which is the consistent 4 or 5 at-bats a day where he just grinds out an at-bat, just a difficult at-bat consistently. And having that in the middle of your lineup can be so huge, and it just feels like, you know, Gunnar takes great at bats, right? He's, you know, top five MVP candidate. But the fact that Rutschman really hasn't been taking those types of at bats the past couple of months, maybe he's starting to break out of it the past week or so. But I think Westberg would be huge in those lineups against lefties because, as you mentioned, they've really struggled against them. And then you just can't ignore Ryan Mountcastle's potential upside if he can get back and is healthy. And this is a guy that we know has the power. I believe he's still this team's leader in doubles. And so you would obviously see him in a lineup against the lefty. So getting these guys back, I think there's been a lot of talk here about the injuries. And it's like, oh, we can't use that as excuses. And it's like, well, firstly, the team's not using it as an excuse. None of these guys and Hyde aren't talking about injuries all the time in terms of that's why they're not playing well. But I'm sorry, the fact is that this team has been struggling because they've had like 10 players who are 10 really good players who are injured. And if you get those guys back and they're healthy, that's going to be a big boost.
Oh, it's real. I don't think anyone, if you think rationally, can deny that. Now, pitching side.
Rationally?
Yeah. I mean, but hey, look, fan, come on. I mean, if it was up to the fans, Brandon Hyde and John Harbaugh would have been fired on Monday. But we're not here to fire people. We're here to encourage people, right? I don't know. It's coming up on Friday at 2 o'clock. I'm about to get off work. Jacob Palvin-Meyer. I saw Grayson Rodriguez did a cameo at Jimmy's for Anthony Santander last night. When's Grayson Rodriguez going to put a uniform on and throw a baseball for the Orioles here in 2024?
Yeah, the concerning thing there is that the range of outcomes here are pretty wide. I think that there's the chance that he doesn't, simply because he's not ready for the wild card series, and they lose the wild card series, and then he just never gets back. But on the opposite end of that, there's a chance that he throws a live bullpen today. You know, maybe he starts. Actually, I don't think that timeline makes sense for him to start for Norfolk this weekend, but maybe early next week. He pitches a sim game in Florida, in Sarasota, and then maybe he can start a game or pitch a little bit against Minnesota and then could start a playoff game. Like, I guess that's still possible, but I think the most likely outcome here is that he's in the bullpen for the playoffs. And if they can get him back into some sort of relief role, whether it's a short inning thing, that he wouldn't be able to pitch on back-to-back days, of course, but if they can get him into like a two or three inning role, to piggyback off of a starter, or maybe he even starts a game and just goes one time through the order, something like that, where he's not going to go six innings. If you have that, then I think that gives you the opportunity, you know, to really have an impact arm in the bullpen. So my guess would be, if I had to, you know, put money on it, it would be that Grayson is in the bullpen for the playoffs.
Jacob Calvin-Meyer, real quick, Orioles clinch a playoff spot when?
I'm going to say Tuesday. And I also think it's funny in New York, it's possible that they lose to the Yankees. The Yankees clinch the division. And on that same day, the Orioles clinch a playoff berth because somebody else loses. That the vibes of that would be pretty weird, but, I'm going to say Tuesday.
Yeah. A lot of champagne flown at Yankee Stadium. If that happens, he's Jacob Calvin-Meyer, Baltimore Sun. Jacob, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the Tigers series. And we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
You got it. Jacob Calvin-Meyer, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney. Bob Haney with you. We'll come back, take a trip through the Funhouse. Nolan McGraw, that Inside Access live from Pickles Pub. And then at 6 o'clock, it's the final Baltimore Baseball Tonight regular season BBT, brought to you by Salvo from Pickles Pub. As we said, hugs, tears, beers, and jugs. It's going to be a fun time because Chuck Bucks are plentiful on this Friday.
Vinny and Haney on 105.
To cover Orioles baseball, so let's enjoy it tonight like it's 1999. More numbers, everybody. Ravens, we are all picking them to beat the Cowboys. Can I change my score? I said 24-14. I think it's going to be like more high scoring. I'm going to go 34-27. I can change my mind, can I? It's not against the rules.
Hey, before the show's done, you're not locked in until 2 p.m.
Well, all that matters is, you know, who wins the game. But I'm going 34-27. I expect some fireworks out there in Jerry World. Any closing thoughts, Nolan, for the people of Baltimore, or you just want to go to the Funhouse and get the hell out of here?
We didn't touch on, well, in full, it got a mention, but Justice Hill.
Oh, yeah.
New deal for him, 2 years, $6 million extension, so not breaking the bank by any means, but keeping a valuable depth piece around a little while longer.
Yeah, due to hit free agency after this season, so congratulations to him. Let's do it, Funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Starting with the Orioles, this texter says, I don't know why the O's front office and manager seem to be running this team like they're still in the rebuild, changing lineups every day, bringing in guys with a lack of talent to see what they can do. Do they not realize this is year two of a chase for a World Series?
Well, we just talked about three guys who aren't in the lineup because of injuries, literally 5 minutes ago, and one of them's an all-star. Jordan Westberg. One was a Gold Glove finalist last year who still leads the team in doubles, and one of them, Ramon Urias, was one of their hottest hitters before he went down. So if they're playing, the lineup looks a lot different on a nightly basis.
Howard in Baltimore checking in says he's feeling really good about the Ravens' chances this weekend. Statistically or historically very good against Dallas, 5-1 is the all-time record. He says here this should be a get-back-on-track game. His score prediction, 34-17 Ravens.
Ah, he's got the 34, but the 17, I don't know. Shut down CeeDee Lamb. The running game's a little suspect in Big D. Dak Prescott can get hot. He's regular season standout. They need to win. And need to win in a big way, but so do the Ravens. 0-3. Ooh, could you imagine the phone calls on Monday if they're 0-3? Hi-yo. Then, the percentages to win the Super Bowl 0-2 since 1990 are pretty low. It's been done before. Mm-hmm. But 0-3, I don't have any data in front of me, but I think it's almost impossible to do so.
Might venture to guess that it's never been done.
Okay, there
but
we go.
The 0-7 Giants, if I'm not mistaken, the last 0-2 team to go on and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they got lucky. I'm just joking.
Eli Manning, future Hall of Famer.
Hey, Brett Favre handing them the NFC Championship game. And all right, next.
We'll close on this thought. Something actually haven't heard this player's name mentioned a lot so far this season. Texter says, nobody's talking about Patrick Ricard. Texter goes on to say, his poor performances through 2 weeks. I saw him miss a handful of blocks against the Raiders. He's tying up a roster spot in the new style offense. Texter says, might be time for Ricard to go.
Well, Vinny actually pointed out Patrick Ricard as a guy that did not do his job well against the Raiders, especially missed a couple of those assignments. Even heard Lamar mention M.E.'s missed assignments. That'd be M.A., though, according to me, but whatever it is. But, yeah, he's scuffling a little bit because they don't have a blocking tight end, so I guess he's kind of that de facto guy. But other than that, the fullback's going the way of the dinosaur in the traditional sense. I don't know if the Cundiff is coming anytime soon for him. Just play better.
Yeah,
what's that consistency that Harbs keeps asking for?
Think about the high hopes that we had for this run game entering the season. Pat Ricard blocking for Derrick Henry. That's a coach's dream right there. If you're a run-heavy coach, what more could you want? One of the best fullbacks, or really the only fullbacks remaining, and one of the best running backs of his era, it should be a recipe for success.
But the texter pointing out that no one's mentioned it, Vinny got on him pretty good a couple of days ago. Patrick Ricard, that is. That's going to do it for us. We're done for the week. We're back on Monday. Actually, I'll be here on Sunday for Baltimore Game Day on sets of the pregame show brought to you by Rice Murthopasaurus with Ken Wyman. I'll be down at Pickles Pub coming up tonight at 6 o'clock with Mike Bordick for Baltimore Baseball Tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Other than that, I got nothing else to do. Nolan, have a great weekend. I'll see you on Monday for Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, and Bob Haney. Inside Access coming up next. Stay safe, stay healthy. For now, class dismissed.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.